Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
We are going to be talking about something quite controversial today.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be, but it is. What's the topic called, my love?
Well, it's controversial because it's called God Told Me / Did He? And part of the reason it's controversial is because, you know, like men in the church will be like, God told me you're my wife.
You're my wife.
And recently, there's been a lot of God told me you're my husband, you know, that's been going around. And we just want to talk about how God tells you, right? Did he tell you? Was it him? Did you hear from him? Was the flesh speaking? And how, when God speaks, there's confirmation.
Yes. You know, we really have to be a bit kind on this one, okay? Because sometimes, like all of us, when we get saved, we're trying to figure out how God speaks to us, mm-hmm. you know? And it's almost very easy to confuse your own desires for what God is saying to you, mm-hmm. you know? So if you think a certain woman is the right woman for you, it's easy to think, wow, this is really God, you know, giving me this person. And now walking in that as if God has indeed confirmed that this is your person. And also we've seen this a lot, especially in the church where there's a few men and a lot of women. The men who are on the pulpit find themselves in trouble, especially young men who, you know, are the eligible bachelors. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, there'll be 6-7 women who really believe that they are the mamruti, the pastor's wife, you know. They are the first lady, you know, and they're praying about it, and, you know, they're having dreams about it, and, you know, I was actually having a conversation with a woman of God who was actually telling me that she's had to help a lot of women who were in the space where, you know, it was actually Dr. Alexis, and she was saying to me, Danny, I've had to help women who are like in that space where they're now dreaming and they have these confirmations and the spiritual experiences. But we know that God's not a God of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So God will not speak to 7 different women mm-hmm. in the church telling them that the pastor is their husband, mm-hmm. you know? What's even worse is sometimes we find people doing this with people that are already married.
Yeah.
Where you believe, like, okay, if Danny was not there, this mm-hmm. would be my wife. Or if Letitia was not there, mm-hmm. this is my space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we are trying to help everyone to realize what deception is.
Yeah.
Because, guys, deception deceives, according to scripture, even the elite will be deceived. You know, so just because you're a prayerful person who walks in righteousness, who loves the Lord, that does not exclude you from being able to be deceived.
Mm.
And to walk in deception so convinced that you are right, believing that, you know, what you believe is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to help us. Mind you, I'm saying us. I'm not saying just help you because we're not on a high horse where we think the enemy cannot bring a well-crafted, you know, story to deceive us.
Mm.
In fact, we've actually had, sometimes during counseling, someone will be telling you a story and it sounds right, but when you take it back to the Lord, the Lord's like,
something's going on.
Your heart's in it. You love them. You're being compassionate, but you're being deceived.
Do you know what's actually interesting that I've, you know, have kind of been wrestling with for a while now? Being spiritually aware, right? When you're spiritually aware, you now have a choice which spirit you're aware of, right?
Yes.
And for us, we say we're aware of the Spirit of God. We're aware of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, whatever you would call it. but within our belief systems as believers, as Christians, we need to understand that the spirit realm is not just about the Holy Spirit. And we spoke about this in the previous episode, that there's a lot of masquerading spirits, principalities, etc., but we've got the Holy Spirit that's our guide. But what I've come to learn is when you are spiritually discerning, it means that you can sometimes catch something that's actually not the Holy Spirit, simply because you are open to that realm. It's like sometimes I say it this way. If you're in a room with, I don't know, a tarot card reader, right? The two of you will probably pick each other up in that room because you both operate on a spirit level, albeit on different sides. You will feel that tension.
There's a clash in the spirit.
So think about it as a clash in the spirit realm. Even Jesus could be attained by Satan. Come on. After the 40 days of fasting, he was then tested by the enemy, who came to him and said, oh, do this or do that to prove this and prove that. And I often say even God, the enemy has access to. Why? Because he's the accuser of the brethren. Who is he accusing the brethren to? A lot of the times we think just because God is in heaven, Satan doesn't have access to him. That's not true according to scripture. Even in the book of Job, who was God talking to? God was talking to Satan. And according to scripture, that cut will be made on judgment day. When finally everybody goes that side and other people go this side. So I'm saying this to say that even God, if the enemy can accuse us to Yahweh, and if the enemy can find Jesus in a desert, we can't act like we can never be deceived by the enemy. I believe that's why scripture says you have to test the spirit. Because just because you're in aware or open to the spirit realm does not mean that what you're hearing is necessarily the Spirit of God. And that's why the Bible goes into the fruits of the Spirit, right? It speaks about the manifestation. If there's the Holy Spirit, it should look like this. And that's how we are able to discern, is this thing speaking of God? Now, when we speak of did God tell me, we spoke about, you know, romantic relationships. There's also dreams and goals, etc. There's so much more to that. It's important that we understand that a word from God is always confirmed. If we look in the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, he actually asks God, if it's you, then do this, okay? So I would encourage you, for those of you who are receiving a word about that woman, that man, that job, that car, whatever it is that God has told you, please push your spirit man a little more. Don't be lazy. Okay, you have to do the work of testing the spirit. There's something you actually have to do. Ask God for confirmation to bring random people to you to tell you the same thing.
Especially people who don't even know what's happening.
But don't just sit with the word alone. The word must be confirmed, because according to scripture, God's word does not return to him void, and he sends angels. So in two different scriptures, he sends angels to watch over the word until it is accomplished. I quickly want to look in scripture as a sort of case study what happened between Mary, Joseph, and the Lord. In the book of Luke 1:26 is where we see the angel Gabriel coming to the Virgin Mary and telling Mary that she would, you know, have Jesus, etc., etc. Verse 29 said, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So even she was like, what's this? Like, she didn't just say, oh, it's an angel, bless the Lord.
Yeah.
She was disturbed because the news wasn't exactly wonderful, right? Yeah. Verse 30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. Okay. And so as it continues, she then begins to see that it is the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 35, the angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and called the Son of God. All of this, though, all of this wonderful stuff the angel Gabriel said, God didn't just leave it at that. He also then went and spoke to Joseph. And this is what I always say to people who are saying, it's my husband, it's my husband. God will not leave you hanging.
Yes.
If he told me, he will tell Danny.
Yes.
Because you risk looking like you're manipulating someone into believing that they are your husband right?
Yes.
Let's just say, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I know I shouldn't, but life is life and things happen. Let's say someone's wife is about to die, right? And in the spirit realm, it can be seen. This woman is going to die. The man's about to be a free agent. And you get a word that that's your husband, right? Just pray. You don't have to, because God would never give you someone else's husband. God would never give you someone else's wife, at least not while they're alive and in the marriage, you know. So just pray. And God is the one that will confirm or deny that what you're hearing is from him. So we can't just assume that because we hear in the spirit realm that we are hearing from the Spirit of God. A lot of deception happens in the mind, where the enemy will set your mind on a frequency of deception. And you walk in it and you truly believe it because this is what you're hearing. You're seeing it in dreams and you don't even realize that that may not necessarily be the Holy Spirit that's talking.
And I love that you've used a very radical example. Like this is, you know, this is something, if it was happening, there'll be a time for it. You know, you're not just going to go up to someone, well, you're going to die and I'm the wife. And we've heard of great men of God who... Like Pastor Derek Prince,
yeah.
You know, had his first wife, yeah. And then she passed on, and then he found his second wife, you know, and, you know, they did lots of ministry work together and all of that. Now, imagine if the second wife had some form of revelation and then came and showed up at their house, look, I'm the second wife.
That's
not normal. And I'm here to kick you out. Just to say that even the things we are told have a time, you know, what we see sometimes is people trying to help God. You know, maybe if God told you you called to finances, you don't go about now robbing people to say, no, I'm robbing people in the name of God.
Yeah.
I'm deceiving people in the name of God.
Yeah.
Some of you, let's say there's a space that you know that is for you. Maybe God's called you to leadership in your church, but there's another leader there. It's now not your job to go and get this leader exposed so that you take that position. No. If God tells you something, be like David. David was not willing to kill Saul, even though he was called to be king. When he had the opportunity, he just made sure he took a piece of his clothing just to be like, dude, I had the opportunity to kill you, but I will not do that. I will not promote myself. So a lot of us, once we get into that deception spirit, we try to make it happen. We go about, bad-mouthing people. I've literally seen people who have issues with others pretend that God has spoken to them, then take the information that they were told and use it as if, you know, God has revealed prophetically to them. Why? Just to use that information to get what they want.
And as the receiver, if you're not discerning that it's not actually God that sent this person, then you can be set on a totally different trajectory from where you should go. I love that you use David. I love it because he's so holy. He's so close to God, right? But with Bathsheba, there was a sort of deception. So when we look at the lineage of how Jesus came about, I'm not really sure which book in the Bible this is, but there's a nice chronolization of this one begat this. It's Matthew.
Yeah.
This one begat this one and Jesse begat. We see David and Bathsheba and all of them in that lineage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So could it be when Danny said helping God, we help God, could it be that Bathsheba could have still been David's wife, but Uriah would have died in war? Because he was a man of war. After all, it happened with Abigail. Abigail, Nabal died. And when Nabal died, she was no longer married in the spirit, right? so David could take her as a wife. So we've seen him do it right before, where he actually has interest in a woman, because it says in that in the scriptures that he was impressed by her wisdom, with Abigail's wisdom and beauty. He was impressed with her wisdom and beauty while she was still married to Nabal. But it was only upon Nabal's death that he then married Abigail. So with Bathsheba, it could have very much been the same. Yes, he sees her in an indecent position, but he goes to the Lord and washes his eyes and does whatever he needs to do to forget about that. But he's seen a beautiful woman, and she stays in his spirit. Months later, he discovers that her husband has died in the war, and she's now a widow. And he can then take her as his wife, legally. So sometimes we want to force God's hand when he actually means for that thing to be yours. And maybe you've seen it, and the enemy wants to turn it to your bad, but God actually wants to turn it to your good. And the interest that you may have there is not necessarily wicked, right? But that the enemy can now come and masquerade. So Danny used the example of, I've seen someone have an issue with someone and then badmouth them to another person off the guise of God said. But what if you had an issue with someone and you were just brave enough? The Spirit gives you bravery. The Spirit gives you boldness. The Spirit of God says, just go talk to them. Go tell them, this is what's happening. This is my grievance. The Spirit of God could have reconciled that entire thing. But when the deceiver gets involved, now you need to know the voice of God. So in the previous episode, we spoke about this. But the sheep, they know the voice of the shepherd. If it's like a nudging, a pushy spirit, our producer Tracy actually said this earlier. She said, the voice of God is never condemning. He will never condemn you and beat you down and, you know, tell you that you're horrible and all these things, but he will always call you into his perfected vision of you, into how he sees you in the fullness and wholeness and finished works of the cross, right? So being able to know the voice of God, the voice of God and the presence of God, and I have to be very forward with this, it is practiced. It is practiced. We need to understand that as close as David was, y'all saw the Psalms of David? He was not a noble. He was talking to God like this. But if the deceiver could still come there, it just tells you the importance of staying in the presence. Because the presence is learned. The presence is practiced. So that when a different presence comes in, you're like, no, that doesn't feel like God.
The person's saying the right thing. They even, sometimes they'll even be telling you, you know, things that you know are confirmation. But you pull back and you're like, what is the spirit with which they operating? Now, you yourself, if you are being deceived, When you are patient, let's not say patient, humble enough, because there's so much spiritual pride in the kingdom of God. When we read that the elite will be deceived, we say, not me. You hear me? We're like, ooh, they're going to get deceived. But you must be humble enough to know that you can be deceived. And in so knowing, you will be humble enough to go back to the Spirit of God and check the words that you get. Don't just run with things because you are you and you've done all of these things in the kingdom. David killed Goliath. David killed Goliath and then still killed a man for his wife. So just because you've accomplished great things in the kingdom, just because you have a great name in the kingdom, just because you've built big churches in the kingdom does not mean that your name is written in the Bible as one of the people who can never be deceived. If you can't show us your name in the Bible as someone who is deceive-proof, like, then have some humility. Humble yourself before the Lord and, you know, look at great men and women of God who God has used mightily and how they've still gone astray. Those who prophets, you know, who have done great things in one chapter, and then the next chapter they're running in fear. You know, look at all of that. Look at the disciples who walked with Jesus. Not a pastor, they walked with Jesus and then ran away when the time came for him to be killed, denied him.
Even so, King Josiah, who was called to tear down all the idols of the previous priests, he ends up being deceived as well by following the wrong word.
There we go. None of us, no one is deception proof. Mm-hmm. The only person who can show us when there's deception is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And if we remain humble enough to go back and say, Holy Spirit, here's the situation.
Here's the word. What you say?
Show me. I may be all of this. Yeah. I may have done all of that.
Yeah.
But I'm humble enough to know that you can redirect.
And don't just take every word. You know, we were in Botswana a few years ago, and we went to this place, and there was this lady who was giving us a word. And Danny just nudged me. He just nudged me, and he said, Tish, divination, do not accept, do not accept. And funny enough, as we were driving to this place, we saw a snake,
a big snake
on the road.
Yes.
And we were like, God, what is that? Literally, we drove over the snake. And it now made sense. When Dee was saying divination, divination, I said, oh my goodness, that's why we actually saw that snake. And we began to realize that, you know, when scripture says in the book of Romans that everything is made by and for the glory of God, a lot of the times when we marry with words that are not from God, the backlash is because by accepting that word, we have now covenanted with whatever spirit that word was given by. You know, so prophetic words are great, right? But take the prophetic word and give it back to God. So we've spoken about, did God tell me? But also, did God tell your prophet, right? The funny thing is some people don't even know they're operating in a spirit of divination because sometimes it's a bloodline thing. And in that bloodline, they see through divination and they don't even know. And that's why it's important when you get a word, test the spirit behind the word, bring it to the Lord. If it is the Lord, there will be confirmation, and thus keeping yourself from being deceived, even though you're hearing or someone else is hearing.
No, that's true. I'll never forget, look, when my wife said we drove over the snake, not over it with the car. We wouldn't do that because, you know, I don't want that thing ending up in the car with the children. But as we're driving past it, and we're looking at it, what was very significant for me in that moment was we've been to Botswana a lot of times. We can't even count how many times. But that day, the GPS took us off the main road. We thought, okay, there's a problem there. We end up on this gravel road, and there's a snake. It didn't even, it wasn't bothered by us. It just sat there, very big. We still have a picture of it. But when we got to the place where we're going and we fellowshipped with our friend and then ended up with this pastor, we could recognize, like, wow, God.
Confirmation.
You took us down this road for us to see that snake and us to still have it in our minds. Then when we came across it, we could say, oh, wow. When the person was speaking, that snake came back. So sometimes if you are willing and humble enough, God can redirect you, and he can show you things before they happen, and then he can confirm it for you while they're happening. So whether you're a pastor or you're in the pews, let's be humble. We can all be deceived, and may the Lord keep us all. Unto him who is able to keep us from falling, be honor and glory.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Van Billies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.